planes, trains, automobiles carry me across this land. St. Louis, Chicago, Nashville, Orlando, Jackson, and Birmingham. Fine cities each and every one, but when my time on earth is done, I'm going to a city that is built for square. There is a city
built for square.
That is built for square.
City built for square.
Some glorious morning,
I'm gonna go there.
I'm gonna go there.
I'm gonna go there.
1,500 miles on either side. It's just as high as it is wide. I'm going to a city that is built for square.
Maybe today I will soar beyond the moon. It may be tomorrow or maybe at midnight, but I sure hope it's soon.
That day and hour nobody knows, for when old Gabriel's trumpet blows, I'm going to a city that is built for square.
There is a city
built for square.
That is built for square.
City built for square.
Some glorious morning,
I'm gonna go there.
I'm gonna go there.
I'm gonna go there.
1,500 miles on either side. It's just as high as it is wide. I'm going to a city that is built for square.
There is a
city built for square.
For square.
City built for square.
Some glorious morning.
It's just as high as it is wide. I'm going to a city that is built for square.
1,500
miles on either side. It's just as high as it is wide.
Yes, sir.
Going to a city. Going to a, whoa, going to a city that is built for square.
What's a family for? You know, the family has been taking a lot of heat lately. Have you noticed that? There are people that'll say the family is obsolete, that it's out of date, that it's irrelevant, that we should just forget the idea of the family. It's of no use anymore. But let me tell you right now, the family is not finished. It's fragmented, yeah, and it's fragile, and it needs to be strengthened. So I thought today, since it's Mother's Day, I would just take a little time this morning and just kind of consider the question, what's a family for? I mean, what's the big deal? Why are moms important? Why are dads important? Why is the family important? And so to get that answer, we're going to go into the Owner's Manual for Life, the Bible. We're going to go way, way back to Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to hear what God said. And God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. God's idea of the family started right then. See, when God made Adam, he put him in a perfect environment. No problems, no stress, no difficulties. So he made him a wife. And God said it is not good for man to be alone, so he made him his wife. Not to be a pain in the neck, like sometimes they are, but to be a helper. And I don't care if you're married or not, the Bible said it is not good for you to be alone. Human beings were made for relationships. Whether you're married or not, you need friends, you need companionship, you need people you can relate to. And that's why we're going to start a new series on Sunday mornings, and when I get back, I'm calling Steps to Better Relationships. But this morning I thought we'd look at four purposes that God intends for our family. And I think it's especially important since we had child dedication this morning and baptisms. So number one reason we have a family is the family is a shelter from the storms of life. A lot of people that think that the family is nothing but a bed and breakfast, maybe a tax deduction. But the Bible is far more than that. The Bible says that it's a shelter to the storm. We all have tough days. We all get rained on. We all get dumped on. We all go through bad weather. There are days when things just don't seem to work out right. And we all need that place of protection, a place of peace, a place of refuge where we can just get out of the storms and find protection. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, reverence for the Lord gives a man deep strength. His children have a place of refuge and security. See, the family is meant to be a place of refuge, a place of security. Because there's a lot of storms in life, aren't there? There's emotional storms and physical storms and relational storms and financial storms. But there's three main storms that can really ruin your life. Number one is change. We live in an era of rapid change. Every time I buy a new computer, by the time I get home, the first thing I turn it on, I go to the webpage, and the first thing it tells me about a better computer that's out there. It's constantly changing. Now, any change, whether it's for good or for bad, whether it's a positive change or a negative change, will cause stress in your life. The more change you have in your life, the more stressed out you're going to be. See, we need a place of stability, a place that's predictable, that you can count on. We need that when the storms of change come. We have the storms of failure. Nobody wins all the time. We all make mistakes. We all stumble. Sometimes we fail the test. Sometimes we get fired from a job. Sometimes we get passed up for that promotion. Sometimes we go bankrupt. Nobody wins all the time. See, failure is a whole lot easier to handle, though, when you come home to hugs. And there's somebody to put your arms around you and say, you know, we're going to make it. Number three is rejection. Probably the most difficult storm of all is the storm of rejection. It hurts to be criticized. It hurts to be attacked. Some of the most damaging attacks that you've had in your whole life occurred as a child. And you still remember them today. And just the thoughts of that childhood brings back those fears and the guilt and the shame and the hurt. Kids can say the awfulest things to each other. And they don't have the sense to know what to accept or to reject. So if they don't have positive reinforcement at home, they're going to tend to believe what those other kids say about them. Isn't it true that they're going to accept what they hear the most? See, when you become a teenager and you go through a difficult stage of life that's called the time that we're being accepted or being rejected, can you remember the heartbreak of that first breakup you had? Intentionally or unintentionally, we all go through heartbreaks in life. Life is tough. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, one standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two standing back to back conquer. See, we need shelters from storms, and two can handle the shelters. The goal of most games that you have is to get home. And when you're at home, you're safe. I remember one time when I was writing this, I had a particularly rough day at school. Some kids were making fun of something, probably my Hawaiian shirts. I can't really remember. But I had felt this intense rejection. And I got to tell you, even today, if you make fun of my Hawaiian shirts, I feel rejected. And the moment I walked in the home that night, the dam broke loose. And I just cried and cried. Why? Because I was in a safe place. That's what a home is supposed to be, a shelter from those storms. So how do you turn that home into a shelter? Four words. You need to hear, you need to hug, you need to hope, and you need to help. First, you hear. You have to have a listening ear if you're going to build shelters from the storms. You've got to listen when your family hurts. Not turn a deaf ear to it. Listen. Hear. Then you have to hug. You have to have physical affection for your family. Lots of it. Pats on the back. Hugs. Embraces. Kisses. Physically show affection for your family. And then help. You need to give the people in your family the help when they need it. When they stray or they're in a particular problem. And then you need to give them hope. You build each other up with hope rather than fear. You give more strokes than you give pokes. You lift people up. You don't tear them down. So number one, the family is a shelter from the storms. Number two, the family is to be a learning center for life. You learn things in your family that you never learn anywhere else. Think about it. You learn how to walk in your family. You learn how to talk. You learn how to eat. You learn how to use the remote control. Basic things that you need to have in life. You learn those things from your family, and God wants your family to be a learning center. Psalm 144 says, may our sons in their youth be like plants that grow up strong. See, the Bible calls the family a garden. It's a garden for growing people. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord. Key words, training and instructions. See, a lot of training is simply knowing which end of the child to pat. the head or the rear. But the idea is to move those children through the three stages of life. Do you know there's three stages of life? You go from parent control to self-control to God control. You move them from parent control to self-control to God control to the end where they say, Father, what do you want me to do with my life? That's what the tray is about. That's what the child dedication was about this morning. Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. Important verse for parenting. In his passage, it says that he grew three ways. He grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God. And then number four, he grew in favor with man. See, as a parent, we want our children to be balanced and to grow like that. Three basics in life that you don't leave home without, and it's not American Express. Number one, you learn relationships from your family. Right or wrong, good or bad, dysfunctional or functional, you're going to learn how to relate to people from your family. And if you don't learn the right way of relating, you're going to learn the wrong way of relating. And your happiness in life is to a large degree depends on your relationships with other people. If you can't get along with other people, then you're going to be miserable your whole life. And relationships don't just happen. We know that. It takes energy. It takes effort. You've got to have a whole lot of forgiveness in you if you're going to make a relationship work. So are you teaching those things to your kids? Are you teaching them how to respond to other people? We learn relationships from the family. Number two, we learn character in the family. Character is caught. It's not taught. The older I get, the more I see how much like my dad I really am. And I got to tell you, that's pretty scary. It really is. You know the old phrase, like father, like son? You can't help but be influenced by your parents, whether you want to or not. I've heard people say so many times, I am not going to be like my mother. That's the last thing I will ever do. And you know what? You're exactly like your mother. Your kids are going to pick up your good character or they're going to pick up your bad character. You make the difference in their life. Number three, we learn values. We learn what life was really important in life. Growing up with your family, again, for right or wrong, good or bad, you learn about the value of money, about sex, about relationships, about failures, about success. You learn how to either face life's storms or run away from them. So it's important we teach the right values. Isaiah 38 says, one generation makes known your faithfulness to the next. See, your family is nothing but a long relay race, where we're handing values from one generation to the next. You know, I thought on Mother's Day I would talk about legacy for a while. But I realized after writing this message that we're really not interested on the legacy that we've had, but what is the legacy we're going to leave for our kids? What are we going to leave them? I would say that you should determine in your life, regardless of your past, it may be a bad past, it may be alcoholism, it may be divorce, it may be abuse. You're going to say, I'm going to break the chain, and I'm going to start a new legacy today, Mother's Day. Some of you believers in the last year, you had to say, from now on our family is going to be an influence for good, and I'm going to leave my children something more important than wealth. Not a big bank account, but spiritual riches, a spiritual heritage they can hang on to. So you choose your legacy that you're going to leave your kids, and that's the same legacy they leave their kids and their kids and their kids. And if you're not thinking about it, then you're just leaving it up to chance. I've had many people say this to me, and you've probably heard it before, and I got to tell you, of all the things in the world, this irritates me more than anything else. So write it down. Write it down. Here's what I've heard them say. I'm not going to impose my spiritual values on my kids. I'm going to let them make their own decision. Have you ever heard that line? Here's what they're saying. I'm giving up my role as a parent, and I'm going to give it to the devil. When a person tells me I'm not going to force my kids to come to church, or I'm not going to impose my spiritual values on my children, they are basically saying that God is an option. And let me tell you this morning, God is not an option. The Bible says that one day you as parents are going to be judged on how well you did transmitting the values of God to your children. The Bible says these commandments impress them. That means take action, take an initiative, impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. Talk about when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Teaching values is the major part of our job as parents. Think about it. What's being taught at your home? What are you unintentionally teaching your children about money or about sex? What are you teaching about what's important in life? What values do you want them to catch? Make a list and then start doing them and teaching them. Third reason God created the family is a place to have fun. A habitat for happiness. A format for fun. A place to party. That's what the family's for. God meant for the family to be a place where you let down, kick back, relax, and enjoy life. Ecclesiastes 9:9, enjoy life with your wife whom you love. Proverbs 5:18, be happy with your wife and find joy with the girl you married. I don't hear a whole lot of amens coming out of men or women on that one. I got to tell you, I've been to a lot of Christians' homes, and I got to say one thing that's pretty much general. It's just lighting up. Some take that, amen. Some people take the principle number two of the learning center so seriously they turn their home into some kind of boot camp. They listen to Dobson five times a day. They're so uptight they're going to do the wrong thing in the wrong way. They have no fun in their life at all. The father becomes a drill sergeant. Remember that? The Sound of Music? And the guy blow the whistle and all the children march in and march out. That's how some Christian homes are. I got to tell you right now, I know my kids well. I know my grandkids pretty well. And there's not one of them that's impressed that I'm a pastor. They could not care less. They're not impressed at all in my education. I could have 20 degrees and still have no warmth. I guess you'd call me a popsicle then, wouldn't you? I could be Dr. Fahrenheit. They don't care. What they want to know is grandpa fun. Do I have fun with them? Am I a fun guy? Why is this important? Why am I talking about today? Why is this important to me? Because when I get old and I'm on my deathbed, I don't want the kids to remember my pious prayers. I want to remember that Dad was fun. I loved being around him. See, if you don't have the reputation for being fun in your home, don't be surprised when your kids leave home and never come back. Because you're not known as an enjoyable person. And it's not known as an enjoyable place to be. You need to learn to play with your family. Psalm 127, children are a gift from God. There's reward. Children are like sharp arrows. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. You only have kids for a season. They're not going to be around forever. I'm increasingly surprised at how fast time goes. So make your home a place to play. I want to encourage you all to celebrate with your families this week. Plan something crazy. Do something off the wall. Enjoy your family. Nothing. My family used to just get in the car and drive. We had no idea where we're going. We just knew that when the gas tank hit half, we had to turn around and go back. Do something crazy. The kids will love you for it. Fourth thing, last thing, is to be a launch pad for ministry. This is the most important reason for a family. Nothing, absolutely nothing, binds a family closer together than having everybody in that family know the Lord and serve the Lord together. Nothing does a better job of putting your family together. Not hobbies, not family reunions, not days at the lake or days at the park or whatever. Nothing else. When you're serving the Lord together, there is a glue that's going to last for eternity. See, the family of believers will outlast even your physical family. A good example is found in 1 Corinthians. Stephanas and his family were the first to become Christians in Greece, and they are spending their lives helping and serving Christians everywhere. We've got families that do that right here in our church, the Lake Tulloch Bible Church, who use their families as a launch pad for ministry. There's couples who open their homes for small group meetings, Bible studies. We can all do that. We have couples who serve in our Sunday school class, I talked about, where they serve a husband and wife, teaching a class together. More of you could do that. If you want to build a strong family, you need to know the Lord, and you need to serve the Lord by helping others in your church. Acts 16:34, the whole family was filled with joy because they had come to believe in God. See, the greatest gift that you can give to your children is not in your will. It's not a living trust. It's not a bunch of money. The greatest gift you can give your children is a godly parent, a mom or dad who knows Jesus Christ. Fathers, I'm going to speak to you, even though it's Mother's Day, you're going to get a double whammy. You're going to get it again in June. If you were a believer, your number one priority in life is not your job. It's not your bank account. It's not your retirement plan. It's not your 401k. Your number one job in life is to, number one, know Christ personally. Then it's your relationship to your wife. And then your primary responsibility is to help your kids know God's love. They need to feel and experience the love of God coming through you. And that's how they learn to know Jesus Christ. I'm thrilled today that I can say my kids and grandkids are in the kingdom of God. They made decisions for themselves. On their home, they've come to know him. I held my breath, I got to tell you, for a long time. Because no matter how big this church gets, if my kids don't know the Lord, then I'm a complete failure in life. See, we're talking about eternal destinies here. You should be praying for the salvation of everyone in your family every day. Brothers, sisters, mom, dad, children, grandchildren. You should be praying that they would become Christians. It's that important. Romans 12:13 said, when God's children are in need, help them out. And get in the habit of inviting guests home for dinner or if they need lodging for the night. Now, there's a ministry that every Christian family can do. The ministry of hospitality. Inviting Christians into your home for a meal. It is amazing to me how many believers have never, ever had another Christian family in their home. They have never given their children the experience of being exposed to other Christians. See, you need to expose your children to godly people. You need to have them in your home. You need to invite them in. Open up your home for a Bible study, for small groups, so that you have Christians in your home that your children see. See, the fragmentation of the family is causing enormous problems in our society today. And this current generation of children is the first in our nation's history to be less well off psychologically, socially, and economically, and morally. See, studies blame the problem on the shift away from the values of the institution of Mary. See, we got to get away from this thinking that I've got to do what's best for me. I got to do what's best for my bank account. I got to do what's best for my career. We got to start doing what Joshua said to do in chapter 24. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care what the world does. I don't care what the rest of the church does. We will serve the Lord. Have you said that? Have you said that? Have you made that commitment in your marriage and in your family that no matter what else happens, you're going to be a family that's known for serving the Lord? Now, I can hear it. What about us people that are single? Yeah, you know what? You're not off the hook. You still have relatives, parents, brothers, sisters, nieces. Pray for those. Pray for those people. Pray for the ones that are married in the church. Pray for their marriages. Realize that the Bible says that the church should be a family for those who don't have that nuclear family. Lake Tulloch Bible Church, that's why we're here. We're not here for any other reason. We're here to spread the good news of Jesus, and we're to be a shelter from the storm, a learning center for life, a place to play, and a launch pad for ministry. Get involved in God's family. It'll make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in our nation. Let's have a moment of prayer. And as we prepare to pray and close this morning, just ask yourselves this question. What kind of shelter is your family? I mean, does it offer no protection at all, or a little bit of protection, or a whole lot of protection? Would you just pray now that God just help me to offer hugs and hope and help? Help me to offer a listening ear this week to my family? Think about what kind of learning is taking place in your home. What are you unintentionally teaching? What would you say is important, and what would your kids say is important? Are your kids today learning to develop character? To make decisions based on values? Are you modeling good relational skills? And is your family any fun? You know, you only have your kids for a short season. Many of us know that. We need to celebrate them. Instead of being so critical of them and their young ways, just join in with them. Playhouse. Play hide and seek. I know it's harder for you with your size to hide, but play it anyway. And would you make a commitment today to serve the Lord? Would you just say, God, use my house and my home for good and for your kingdom? Because the greatest gift you can give your children, your church, your community, is to be a Christian mom, a Christian dad. So just say, Jesus, I've known about you, but today I want to know you personally. And as much as I know how, right now, I ask you to come into my life and change me and make me the person you want me to be. I want to follow you and your plan for my life. Just give me the power to be the person you created me to be. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.
For the moment when time will be no more, when finally that second hand stops beating down my door, when the hourglass is empty, I'm forever with the Lord. I'm living for the moment when time will be no more. Deadlines, clocks, and schedules are making my life move so fast, and I can't wait until the day they're all part of the past. 'Cause I'm breathless as I try to keep up with the pace. I could see him any hour, any minute, any day. I'm living for the moments when time will be no more, when finally that second hand stops beating down my door, when the hourglass is empty, I'm forever with the Lord. I'm living for the moment, the day, and the hour when time will be no more. Fast pace, rat race, so slam these days, got no time to rest.
No time to rest.
Hello, gotta go live, don't move, so it's hard to catch my breath. I'm living for the moment when time will be no more, when finally that second hand stops beating down my door, when the hourglass is empty, I'm forever with the Lord. I'm living for the moment when time will be no more. Living for the moment when time will be no more, when finally that second hand stops beating down my door, when the hourglass is empty, I'm forever with the Lord. I'm living for the moment when time will be no more, when finally that second hand stops beating down my door, when the hourglass is empty, I'm forever with the Lord. I'm living for the moment, the day, and the hour when time will be no more.
Yeah, I'm living for the moment
when time will be no more.
Hi, this is Pastor Ted, and I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. Our music this morning was performed by the Solid Ground Trio. I want to thank you for being here at the lake this Sunday morning, and I invite you to be back with us next Sunday as we meet again at 7 o'clock here on KVML. Until then, may God continue to bless you and your family.